Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of AI Unchained. I'm Jack.
And I'm Cor. We're excited to dive into today's topics. We've got a lot to unpack, including some mind-blowing advancements in AI, the latest buzz in the Web 3.0 world, and, of course, a few controversial political developments just to spice things up.
Exactly. And let's not forget our friendly debates.
Friendly? Well, sometimes friendly. You should have seen the debate we had last night about neural networks versus decision trees. It got heated.
Heated? More like a tech nerd's dream match. Anyway, as always, we aim to keep this informative but fun. We love hearing from our listeners, so feel free to share your thoughts with us after the show.
That's right. So buckle up. On today's agenda, we'll be discussing OpenAI's latest model that's stirring up the tech community, the latest from the crazy world of cryptocurrencies, and some unexpected but interesting political stances on AI regulation.
Can't wait for that one. But first, let's talk about OpenAI's new model. Cor, have you seen what GPT-4 can do?
Oh, you mean besides taking my job? I swear, it's like they programmed it to be my personal arch nemesis.
Well, it hasn't replaced you yet, Cor. Hang in there. The competition is all the more reason for us to stay sharp.
True, true. We'll get into the nitty-gritty details in just a moment, breaking down what this means for developers, consumers, and, well, us regular folks.
Stay tuned, folks, and remember, in the wild world of AI and tech, the only constant is change.
And speaking of change, didn't you have something hilarious lined up about blockchain cat services?
Oh, the cat's out of the bag on that one. But you'll have to wait a bit, all in due time.
See? That's why you all need to stick around. Let's dive into our first topic about OpenAI's new model.
All right, Cor, let's dive back into this. You managed to clone the Go crypto repo and update your dependencies with the replace directive. Those improvements in CPU usage, system calls, and bandwidth are impressive, but let's be honest, forking Go's crypto library is fraught with risk. How are you planning to handle the maintenance and safety of your patch?
Yeah, Jack, I get it. Forking a library like Go's crypto is playing with fire. But here's the thing. Brave's approach was a bit all over the place with their resources spread thin across crypto, search, VPNs, etc. I want to stay laser-focused on AI-powered browsing. Maintaining my forked library safely means sticking to rigorous testing, keeping an eye on upstream updates, and possibly even setting up a dedicated team to handle just this.
That makes sense. We've got to remember, though, there's the massive demand AI inference places on power and compute resources. Like what Dr. Mark Tremblay from Microsoft highlighted, it's not just about optimizing current systems, but anticipating future needs. How do you plan on balancing the resource intensiveness AI brings with staying nimble enough to manage a project like forking a library?
Absolutely, Dr. Tremblay's point hits the nail on the head. For us, it's about leveraging technologies like NeuroFoss, which are pushing the boundaries of compute power. Balancing the needs will require a mix of efficient algorithms, distributed processing, and perhaps the next-gen hardware. It's a challenging but exciting puzzle.
Speaking of forward-looking tech, what's your take on Coinbase setting up an advisory board to understand how quantum computing might affect blockchain cryptography? Seems like they're getting serious about anticipating future threats before they become real problems.
Oh, definitely. Quantum computing has the potential to disrupt current cryptographic techniques. Coinbase is smart to get ahead of this. As we know, anything from Bitcoin to Ethereum could be impacted if quantum computers get powerful enough. Their proactive approach to publish assessments and guidance is crucial for the industry.
Yeah, it's fascinating. There's so much debate on how immediate the quantum threat is. Some experts predict decades, while others see a nearer horizon. But undeniably, as quantum advancements continue, it's going to force the crypto world into adopting post-quantum cryptographic standards sooner rather than later.
And this is where I see the interesting play. The timeline debate might thin out the speculative edge in crypto, but it strengthens the infrastructure in the long term. With experts disagreeing and pushing aggressive timelines, we'll likely see significant strides in quantum-resistant algorithms and migration strategies beforehand.
You know, I was thinking about the current geopolitical climate and how it impacts things like Bitcoin. As it's becoming more integrated into the global financial system, it's getting hit by the same macro pressures. What's your read on Bitcoin's recent price struggles and the influence of political and economic tensions?
It's a double-edged sword. Increased mainstream adoption means Bitcoin is seen more as a risk-on asset, trading like stocks. So when there are political or economic tensions, Bitcoin behaves accordingly. Bitcoin's dip amid the recent geopolitical issues, for example, showcased how it's still not detached from the broader market sentiments. It's no longer the rogue digital gold some enthusiasts tout it to be.
Right? And these movements show how interconnected our financial paradigms are becoming. Yet the real kicker is going to be how traditional institutions, like the new mortgage programs considering crypto holdings as assets, will ground this volatile perception into a usable financial instrument.
Yeah, it's about weaving traditional finance into the crypto world responsibly. It's like Nurez starting to factor in Bitcoin and Ethereum for mortgage qualifications. That's a seismic shift and a clear indicator of the ongoing cryptocurrency evolution into something truly mainstream. It's all about striking a balance and educating folks about managing their crypto assets wisely.
Speaking of education, our audience could use a bit of that on how AI integration continues to evolve. What about the latest developments from ARK Invest's forecast on AI and crypto markets?
ARK's latest research mentions how AI and blockchain will be the pillars of the future digital asset market. Imagine decentralized finance, DeFi, applications integrated with AI, allowing more intuitive and sophisticated decision-making. Their view that the market could balloon to $28 trillion by 2030, with technologies like Bitcoin commanding a major share, is ambitious but not unfounded.
And the fascinating part is how that intersects with autonomous systems and robotics. It's about the infrastructure, too. The big players are racing not just to develop, but to implement AI in ways that have practical, everyday impacts. Bringing these two spaces together through platforms like decentralized social networks could be the next big thing.
Exactly. Look at Vitalik Buterin commit to decentralized social media. It's a natural progression of his work with Ethereum. Decentralized platforms can change how we interact on the internet, but it's about moving beyond speculative coins and focusing on solving core social issues. This is where decentralized identity and trust come into play, making the web a more community-focused space.
And when we start to integrate AI into these decentralized structures, we might achieve more intuitive governance models for these communities. This requires clear comprehension of both the tech underpinnings and human-centric design, ensuring it's as user-friendly as it's revolutionary.
Absolutely, Jack. Tech is moving at breakneck speed, and keeping up with it while remaining grounded is key. Exciting times ahead for sure.
All right, Core, I've been itching to dive deeper into AI Nuolu's work on diffusion-based span prediction for masked text modeling. The concept sounds pretty dense, so let's break it down. What's your take on it?
Sure, Jack. This research is revolutionizing how we approach masked text modeling. Traditionally, language models like GPT would predict masked words in sentences. Lu's diffusion-based approach changes the game by using patterns, diffusions, to predict spans of text. Think of it like using a type of mathematical spreading or diffusion process to fill in the blanks more accurately. Interesting, right?
Yeah, it is interesting. It's like instead of guessing one word at a time, the model is using these diffusion patterns to predict chunks of text, which makes it more coherent. This could be huge for improving context understanding in AI.
Absolutely. The implications are profound for natural language processing. It's like upgrading your language model from a word-by-word guesser to a contextual detective. And you know, I was reading the work by Asma Issa on paraphrase identification using deep contextualized representations. It complements Lu's research by refining how paraphrases are detected, which is key for language understanding.
That's fascinating. I can see how combining these approaches would make AI much more intuitive when interacting with humans. By the way, Core, do you think advancements like these bring us closer to that mythical, ever-elusive AGI, artificial general intelligence?
I'm optimistic, Jack. We're definitely inching closer. For example, Yichao Wang's work on uncertainty quantification in summarization helps AI gauge the reliability of its own outputs. It's like giving AI a conscience, a way to say, I'm not sure about this before making decisions.
Yeah, that's a smart addition. It's a nice check and balance system to ensure AI doesn't get too cocky with its outputs. Reminds me of how we have doubts and double check our own work. Speaking of confidence, Mohit Jain's work on learning to predict confidence for language models could also be a critical puzzle piece here.
For sure. Integrating confidence prediction is like teaching AI to be self-aware, making it cautious or assertive based on certainty levels. It ties in beautifully with Greg Durrett's exploration in multi-step reasoning. Imagine AI handling complex tasks and reasoning through a series of logical steps confidently. It's an exciting leap forward.
Totally. Multi-step reasoning sounds like AI developing a thought process similar to ours, tackling issues step by step. Hey, on that note, the AI story has its own comic relief too. Heard about that paper titled MuSR and its authors juggling around? It's like a comedy sketch with some serious underlying science.
Huh, yes. Academic citations can sometimes feel like a circus act, with juggling and all. You know, speaking of putting AI to practical use, Arjun Gupta's work on robust compositional visual reasoning is pretty intriguing. Using language-guided neural networks to enhance visual processing, perfect for applications in everything from healthcare to autonomous vehicles.
That's groundbreaking. If AI can understand and process visual data more effectively, it'll make our tech much more adaptive and useful in real-world scenarios. By the way, have you seen the progress in controlling toxicity in neural machine translation by Weijia Zhu?
Oh, absolutely. Controlling toxicity is crucial. It's like teaching AI to be respectful and contextually appropriate, ensuring it doesn't come out with insensitive or harmful outputs. Vital for AI's integration into social platforms and customer service roles.
100%. And it circles back to a more humane interaction with technology. Also, the work by Xiang Shang on adversarial attacks shines a light on AI's defense mechanisms against malicious inputs, essential for securing AI from hacking and exploitation.
Yes, robust security against adversarial attacks keeps AI reliable and trustworthy. Then there's hyperbolic and spherical embeddings research by Ming Zhang, the idea of using geometric shapes for understanding and processing data. It's like giving AI a spatial sense for its data structures, isn't it?
It sure is. A new dimension, literally, to data processing. And oh, I nearly forgot about the visionary VITS project by Fenglin Ding for surgical phase recognition using vision transformers. Real-time analysis and accurate recognition can revolutionize medical surgeries with precise automated assistance.
VITS definitely leads the frontier in medical AI. Predictive and assistance capabilities across varied domains. That's the essence of effective AI transformation. Now, imagine AI Defrixes by Majid Zolgadar and its generative modeling for recommendations, bringing predictive analytics to personalize user experiences even more swiftly.
The personalization and predictive power here are mind-blowing. Let's not forget Junyoung Lee's meticulous analysis on the trade-off in semi-supervised learning, balancing quantity and quality in AI models to make them more efficient and reliable.
Exactly. And this ties perfectly with spectral contrastive graph clustering by Yihong Zhu, enhancing data clustering methods to handle larger datasets more accurately. The synergy among these varied research efforts paints a compelling picture about our AI-fueled future.
Absolutely, Core. Each of these advancements, no matter how niche, collectively push us closer to sophisticated AI capabilities and benefits. Exciting times ahead.
Indeed, Jack. And as AI continues to empower and streamline, understanding these layers and leaps in research keeps us thrilled and prepared for what's next.
So, moving on and diving deeper into this mind-blowing topic of redefining experts when it comes to interpreting decomposition of language models for toxicity mitigation. Core, isn't this a major leap forward?
Oh, absolutely, Jack. The idea of breaking down these complex language models to understand where potential toxicity comes from is revolutionary. For far too long, we've trusted these models to be black boxes, fantastic outputs without understanding the gritty, tiny details of how they're generated. This new approach is like getting a behind-the-scenes look at the workings of a complex machine.
Exactly, and it's much needed. We all know AI models can produce some great stuff, but they can also spew out some pretty toxic content if not properly managed. These models have been trained on vast amounts of data, and sometimes they pick up on the worst parts of human communication. So, by decomposing the models, developers can actually pinpoint where things go wrong.
And that's the key, Jack. Imagine if we could highlight where in the model certain biases or toxic tendencies come from. We could then surgically tweak those elements rather than having to start from scratch. Plus, it makes these systems more interpretable, which builds trust with users.
Right, because trust is a big element here. People want to know that the technologies they interact with are built on ethical foundations. This should force tech companies to become more transparent about their AI systems. But Core, you know what's funny about all of this?
What's that?
We're talking about these complex, next-gen models and how we're finally trying to understand them better. Yet half the time, we can't even figure out why our phones freeze or our smart TVs decide it's a good time to update mid-movie.
Ain't that the truth? It's like, thanks, TV. I'd almost forgotten how much I love staring at progress bars. But on a serious note, it's another reminder of just how much work goes into making our devices, and the AI that powers them, more user-friendly and intelligent.
Exactly. And let's not forget the importance of the context in which AI systems operate. I mean, have you seen the controversy around AI biases in legal and hiring systems? If AI can change how it's generating responses based on interpreted context, it could potentially reduce these biases.
Yes, and it's not just about avoiding discriminatory outputs, it's about aligning those models closely with ethical standards. Ethical AI is becoming a whole field, and it's crucial. Picture this. If a company's hiring algorithm starts favoring a particular group and someone finds it out, which, with these decomposable models, they easily could, legal and PR disasters are imminent.
That's a good point, Cor. The idea of accountability in algorithms is taking center stage. It's no longer enough for companies to say, oh, it's the algorithm did it, when they can't explain how their AI works.
Laughs. And here we thought 2023 would just be about launching new smartphones and VR goggles. Now we're knee-deep in algorithmic accountability. It's fascinating and a bit overwhelming at the same time. So many companies must be feeling the pressure.
True, the stakes are higher than ever. But switching gears a bit, what do you think about this whole medieval art showing cogs with high timber platforms? I'm curious about how this evidence ties back into our conversation about these advanced AI models and their interpretability.
Well, I was hoping you'd bring that up. It's like an archaeological dig for digital data. Just like those platforms give insight into historical shipbuilding and strategies, breaking down AI models can help us understand historical patterns in data, how they're used, and potentially how they can evolve.
And just like those discoveries can rewrite history, exposing unseen details within AI models can redefine our tech future. Identifying historical instances of bias helps in creating models that are inherently fairer in what they produce.
Absolutely. We're making our own type of digital archaeology. Kind of poetic when you think about it, right?
Poetry in the code. I like it. As we close on this thought, I think it's safe to say the more we understand and interpret our digital tools, the better we can fine-tune them for humanity's benefit, whether it's through language models or archaeological discoveries.
Couldn't agree more. This ongoing dialogue about interpretability and expertise definitely paves the way for a brighter, more conscious tech era, wouldn't you say?
Oh, definitely. Here's to the future, Cor, one carefully decoded algorithm at a time.
Cheers to that, Jack. High-tech archaeology, here we come.
So, Cor, let's get back to that idea we were discussing about travel agents and property managers adapting to AI's impact. It's quite fascinating to see how one group might deskill while the other upskills, right?
Absolutely, Jack. Travel agents, for example, could see their roles become rather monotonous once tasks like complex itinerary planning are handled by AI like Claude. They're essentially reduced to ticketing and payment processing. It's essential for them to find new ways to add value to stay relevant.
That's right. On the flip side, property managers are looking at potentially upskilling thanks to technology. They could focus more on high-level responsibilities like contract negotiations and managing stakeholders. The basic bookkeeping gets automated, freeing them up for strategic tasks.
It's a bit ironic, don't you think? AI is supposed to make our lives easier, but in some cases, it's only making some jobs seem less important while boosting others. It's all about how we adapt to these changes in our industries.
Totally. And speaking of adapting to tech changes, take General Fusion's ambitious project with their LM26 reactor. It's such an innovative approach to fusion energy, using steam-driven pistons instead of expensive lasers or magnets. That keeps costs down and has a lot of potential for commercial viability.
It's a magnificent example of pushing boundaries in technology. By compressing a fuel pellet with liquid lithium to release energy, it not only sounds like science fiction, but represents a significant move forward in clean energy.
And let's tie that back to AI once more. Despite all our advancements in AI, there's still a human curiosity and determination driving these innovations. Just like how reverse engineering digital systems can teach us so much about them, curiosity drives these breakthroughs.
Yes, and it's that same curiosity that seems to be propelling sectors like investment banking too. AI models like Gemini 3 Flash and GPT-5 are getting pretty close to helping out in fields we wouldn't expect, though not quite ready to take over yet.
Right, Gemini 3 Flash had that impressive one-shot accuracy of 24%. That's still a long way from completely automating investment decisions, but it's a promising start. They might not steal the investment banker's job yet, but they're definitely assisting in making more informed decisions.
It's also interesting how users judge these AI models, not just by performance, but by the quality of their experience. Like, when app suggestions degrade, it's not really about whether money was exchanged, it's about whether the experience was satisfying. Think about the backlash against poorly designed chatbots.
Oh, absolutely. Unlike Google Search, where ads are targeted based on user intent, chatbots are supposed to be personal assistants. If they suggest something irrelevant, it's not just unhelpful, it's annoying.
And there are broader implications, too. Take the recent incident with the American Investor Consortium. Even in a sector as seemingly dry as asset management, tech disruptions can ruffle feathers, right?
Definitely. The whole issue with surveillance and investor data emphasizes how important it is to get these digital transformations right. If handled poorly, it can lead to massive backlash and trust issues.
Right. It kind of loops back to our discussion about travel agents and property managers. Adaptation is crucial. Property managers are leveraging digital tools to focus on bigger and better things. The same could apply across the board in various professions.
And speaking of adaptation, look at how Ping Identity is reimagining digital security. They're integrating identity verification, fraud prevention, and continuous risk assessment. It's not just about logging in securely, but continuously ensuring trust.
Exactly, Jack. It's about being proactive rather than reactive. And that's where the world is heading, from travel agents to investment banking to fusion energy. The key is adapting, leveraging curiosity, and maintaining determination.
Absolutely, Cor. It's an exciting and challenging time. But as long as we adapt and stay ahead, the future looks promising. So, that wraps up another engaging episode of AI Unchained. Today, we really dug into the nuances of AI integration in business, the exciting, sometimes terrifying advances in tech, and the ever-evolving political landscape influencing all of this.
Absolutely, Jack. I think our discussion on the ethical implications of AI in business hit some critical points. It's not something we can ignore as tech advances at such a rapid pace.
Yeah, and speaking of rapid, remember when we debated the benefits and potential risks of autonomous vehicles? That's quite a lively exchange.
Lively is an understatement. I'm still convinced your car will turn on you one day, Jack. But seriously, the implications for transportation are both fascinating and a bit nerve-wracking.
You might be right, Cor. And another hat tip to our debate on how political regulations are shaping the tech industry. It's always great to get into the weeds with differing perspectives.
For sure. And let's not forget our lighter moments, like when we joked about AI recommending us the best pizza based on our emotional state. I'm still waiting for that app to hit the market.
Haha, once an AI can figure out your mood, it can figure out just about anything, right?
Right, but until then, we should probably thank our listeners.
Good call. Folks, thank you for joining us today on AI Unchained. We hope you enjoyed our discussions and gained some valuable insights.
And of course, we're always here for a good debate or a laugh. Your support and engagement mean the world to us.
Absolutely. We couldn't do this without you. So make sure to subscribe, leave a review, and drop your thoughts on what we should tackle next.
Until then, stay curious, stay informed, and we'll see you next time.
Take care, everyone.
Cheers.